Driving on the interstate, there are many empty barns that were once filled with dairy cows. After all, Wisconsin is America's dairyland as stated on the license plate. The dairy industry is almost half of the overall agriculture impact in Wisconsin, contributing almost $46 billion to the economy each year. The dairy industry is changing. My barn at home in southeastern Wisconsin is empty after selling my family's herd. Over 50 milking cows and younger animals were sold in an auction to other farmers. No other experience can match the fulfillment I had growing up on the small dairy farm, but it was a challenge. I am Michelle Stangler, and this documentary will go in depth the day in the life of the dairy farmer, the hauler who transports the milk, a small processor, and what to know about Wisconsin's end products like cheese. The dairy product that's consumed takes a community. Support from this broadcast comes from the Donovan E. Rasmussen Broadcast Journalism Fellowship at the University of Wisconsin River Falls. Dairy farming takes so much time and effort, but after speaking with experts in this industry, they all say how rewarding the job is. Time and time again, conversations with people in the dairy industry want consumers to know the timeless dedication it takes from the farm to you enjoying a dairy product like milk and cheese. Farmers' responsibilities today are now more than ever. Dairy products like milk, ice cream, and Wisconsin's own cheese are more complex from the farm to where you buy the product. We'll begin with the dairy farmer. Dairy farming has changed significantly over the past century, decade, and even past 5 years. According to the National Agricultural Statistics Service, Wisconsin today is home to about 6,300 dairy herds. 5 years ago, there were 30% more herds. Even though Wisconsin has fewer dairy cows than 5 years ago, statistics show they are producing about 6% more milk. Tim Kolbenson of Spring Valley, Wisconsin, has been farming almost his entire life. He and his wife operate Tai Shai Dairy together with family members. They farm approximately 400 acres and milk 350 cows three times a day. Every day for Kolbenson can be different, but it starts out early in the morning.
Well, our day starts like 4 o'clock in the morning, and we do have employees that typically take care of most all of the milkings. We milk three times a day, 4 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, and 8 o'clock at night. As stated, we have employees. We have great employees that do most of the milking. As far as myself and my son, our mornings are typically cleaning barns and feeding the cows. And, you know, that'll take us anywhere from 4 to 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. At that point, we're pretty well free to do whatever the necessary jobs are to just keep the dairy going. So we take a lot of time and enjoyment and pride in our cows and spend a lot of time with the cows.
Kolbenson also says the feed for the dairy cattle is contracted to a crop grower to focus the farm's attention solely on raising the female calf to a mature cow producing milk. While every dairy farm is different, dairy cattle can live anywhere between 4.5 to 6 years, and sometimes even longer. Generally, it takes 2 years for a cow to grow and have her first calf. The cow will generally produce milk for 10 months before she is given a 2-month rest period before her next calf is born. The daily responsibilities include feeding different diets depending on the age group, cleaning the premise to care for the dairy cattle, and maintaining and fixing the equipment and more daily tasks farmers are expected to know. It's not an easy task to know how to handle different situations in the different parts of the business.
Everything we do from the moment we wake up in the morning until we get done with our day, the cow's best interests, they're always first and foremost of what we do here on the farm, from baby calves on up. I mean, everything we do is for the betterment of the cow or calf or animals.
Kolbenson is also part of the Pierce County Dairy Promotion Board. Mary Brand is a dairy ambassador of this group, meaning she's in classrooms and has had many conversations with people in the community for nearly 20 years. She says it blows people away how many tasks farmers are responsible for.
In this day and age, you need to have a bunch of training, a bunch of education. You at least do existing online training to learn things because the profit margins are so small. And I talk to them about how, you know, a dairy farmer has to be good with employees, has to be good with cattle, has to be good with parlor equipment or milking equipment, has to be good with raising crops and knowing the best kind of seed to pick and just so many different things. Be able to recognize a sick calf that you need to call the vet. So, and know something about nutrition. It really surprises them, all of those things that farmers have to be on top of and learn as they go.
We'll hear next from a milk hauler who transports the milk safely from the farm to the processing plant. Scott Donnelly has been hauling milk to processing plants like the Ellsworth Cooperative Creamery for over 30 years. He works for Lewis & Milk Transport based in Lake City, Minnesota. For milk haulers like Donnelly, their job is critical to keeping the milk safe for human consumption.
The milk hauler's job is kind of the first line, if you will, to make sure the quality of the milk. You know, everybody wants a healthy, nutritious product. So the milk hauler needs to inspect that tank of milk before they put it on the truck. And so my job, when I get the farm, you open the lid, you look in, you inspect it visually, you take a smell of the milk, because the milk, if it has an off odor, it'll have an off flavor, and it's not desirable by the consumer, and it will impact the final product. And so to ensure great quality, that's the first step that I take. Then I need to measure the milk. You want to make sure that you measure it and pay the farmer for what they're producing, because that's part of it. Our job is to make sure that that farmer is getting paid accurately for the milk that they're putting in the bulk tank. After that measurement, then we agitate the milk, and the agitate is just like a big blender. It stirs the milk around. Make sure that milk in that tank is uniform, and we need to pull a milk sample out of that. And the sample is going to be like 2 to 3 ounces of milk, put in a vial with that producer's name, number on it, and data pickup. And that milk will then be tested once it gets to the plant. First, the load will be tested when we get to the plant for any antibiotics that are in it, because there is basically zero tolerance on antibiotics.
Dairy farmers know how important it is to have their milk free of antibiotics. To treat sick animals and provide animal comfort, the farmer may give the animal antibiotics. If the cow is milking, there is a certain amount of time before the farmer can flow the milk into the bulk tank. It's called a withholding period, and that's one way farmers are fulfilling the consumer's needs.
The consumer is paying for their product. There's allergies out there. There's reactions to antibiotics from consumers. So the dairy industry has adopted standards that they will not accept milk with antibiotics in it. So we take that sample and then hook up the hose to the tank, and then we pump it off into a truck. Now, the truck that I drive holds roughly 6,500 gallons. So that's a fair amount of milk that's coming into the truck and into the plant from that. And then we'll pump on the load. We'll make sure we'll rinse the tank out and get the tank washed so that farmer's ready to start again.
One of Donnelly's challenges is getting to farms in between milking times. And just like dairy farmers, it's a 365-day-a-year job. And he starts the day at 3:30 in the morning. Depending upon how many milking cows a farm has and the size of their bulk tank, where the milk goes before a milk truck will dictate how often Donnelly will stop, either once a day or every other day, typically. On his 80-mile radius route around the Ellsworth area, he can fill the tank with one farm, or it may take 7 to 8 farms. Every farm is different, not only with their size, but will differ for production per cow, as well as components like butterfat. These factors will impact the dairy farmer's paycheck so they can keep in business.
The sample is not only for antibiotics, but the sample is also going to determine how much that farmer gets paid. Besides the volume of milk, they get paid on the components, because the higher the butterfat content, the higher the protein, the higher the solids of that milk, the more valuable it is. It takes less of that milk to make a pound of cheese than it would something with lower components in it. So it's very important that we get a good and fair sample from that farmer so they get paid what they put into it, what it's worth, and that comes back in their paycheck.
Components in milk, like fat, are so important in creating products like ice cream because they will create a creamy texture when cooled. Having cream in ice cream means cream is important when making this dairy product.
The cream will settle to the top of the tank. That's how milk settles. And so if you like ice cream, you would take that cream off the top, and many do it yet today to make homemade ice cream. That's probably the best ice cream you're ever going to get. Skim that cream off the top and go make your ice cream. It'll take less of that cream to make that ice cream than it would if you bought a gallon of 2% milk and tried to make ice cream with that. There's value in that. If the consumer wants ice cream, they're paying higher for butterfat during that time when that cream is in high demand.
Prices for milk will fluctuate often, depending upon what's the value with the components, depending on the end products they are turned into, impacting the farmer's ability to make a profit and stay in business. It's important for farmers like Colbinson's, a tie-shy dairy farm, to pay attention to what consumer trends are, enjoying whether it's whole milk, 2% milk, buttermilk, sour cream, butter, and, of course, cheese. Cheese is important to Wisconsin as the number one cheese-producing state. 90% of Wisconsin's milk supply is used to make more than 2 billion pounds of cheese every year. Donley says milk proteins are important when cheese making.
Protein goes into cheese yield is a lot protein based. So if you're selling your milk to a cheese plant, which many of the producers in this area and in Wisconsin, the upper Midwest, the milk's going to be produced into some form of cheese. So protein's important because the higher the protein content, the less milk it's going to take to produce a pound of cheese. So the consumer is driving that because they have an appetite for cheeses, a lot of different types of cheeses. And so you've got to make sure that the plant you're shipping to, you're producing the milk that they want, that they can use, that they can utilize to the best of their ability to make the best product they can.
Once the milk truck is full, Donley will then drive to the Ellsworth Cooperative Creamery, one of the 115 cheese plants in Wisconsin. While there, the milk undergoes more safety inspections to ensure a desirable end product for the consumer.
When we get to the creamery, we back into the bay, and then they have an intake person there that is like the next check, if you will. They'll open up the lid on our tank. They'll inspect it. They'll look visually. They'll smell it. They'll take a temperature to make sure, because milk needs to be maintained 45 degrees or below to maintain its quality. So you want to make sure we're getting cold milk off the farm, bringing that cold milk into the plant. And so then they will pull a sample as well. They take the load sample from our truck, and they'll check it for antibiotics, and then they'll further check that to make sure that, you know, the butter fat content, the components, water added, anything else that would be in that milk that could impact the final product that's being produced.
There are many steps and tests to complete to create dairy products like cheese. The facility holds a lot of milk and needs a lot of processing equipment to make different products like the famous Ellsworth cheese curds.
Once they test for antibiotics, then they'll turn the pump on. You know, we hook the unloading hose up, but we don't have the ability to unload that tank until the intake man actually turns that pump on. Then they'll offload that tank into a silo and holding anywhere from 500,000 pounds of milk to 300,000 to 500,000 pounds of milk. From the silo then, it will go through a pasteurizer, and that pasteurizer will sterilize the milk, basically. It takes the bacteria out of it, etc. And from the pasteurizer at Ellsworth Creamery anyway, it flows into the cheese vats. And then, you know, that's a process that takes several hours to make a vat of cheese. And then Ellsworth is known for their cheese curds. So for those of you that are familiar with the process, you know, cheese forms a curd. And so these vats will then, they'll kind of form a mat. And that mat is what has occurred. And then they'll come out of that, and then they'll be diced into smaller pieces. And then if you've tasted the Ellsworth cheese curds, they're small, probably 1 to 2 inch size portions that are, you know, they come out warm and squeaky.
Not all of the milk coming into the plant is going to Ellsworth cheese curds. Some will go to make other important dairy products.
They make barrel cheese for commodity purposes. So the cheese curds that aren't being sold into retail, then those cheese curds will go into a barrel and they'll be matted, and then they'll be stored, and then they'll be shipped for further processing. If mostly American style cheeses that you would see put on your cheese slices for your hamburgers.
Cheese is so important for not only Wisconsin dairy farmers, but consumers across the nation as well. Tina Peterson, longtime advocate for Wisconsin's dairy farmers, works for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, a dairy marketing organization supported by dairy farmers.
I think that's the bonus for living in Wisconsin. We have over 600 varieties, types, and styles of cheese in Wisconsin. And a fun fact is that Wisconsin wins more awards for cheese than any other state, region, or country. So if you are buying or able to buy Wisconsin cheese, which we are very fortunate in Wisconsin to be able to source regularly, you are getting world-class cheese. And so with those 600 varieties, there are literally endless possibilities. You can add cheese to your pizza. You can put it into a casserole or hot dish. You can create an awesome charcuterie board. You can utilize it for family functions, special events. There's really no bad way to use Wisconsin cheese.
There are many ways to stay connected with the Wisconsin cheese community, and one of the organization's efforts is a mobile application and Instagram account called Cheeselandia.
There's a Cheeselandia app, and Cheeselandia really is a group of cheese enthusiasts. So they are all these individuals across the entire United States that are joined by one common denominator, and that is cheese. They absolutely love cheese. And of course, because we are the state of cheese, Wisconsin is their go-to choice, or I would say expert, when it comes to all things cheese. So this is a community. It's a brand evangelist that really absolutely love Wisconsin cheese. And all across the United States, they tell our cheese story for us. So they're the ones that are finding Wisconsin cheese in the Seattle market and posting about it on their social media. Maybe they're in Denver and they found a new cheese, or they're hosting their family and friends and they give us a shout out on social media. So these consumers, for the most part, all across the United States are just so passionate about Wisconsin cheese that they're willing to share our stories for us.
Other ways to support Wisconsin dairy farmers are looking for badges, including the Proudly Wisconsin Dairy and Proudly Wisconsin Cheese on products like butter, yogurt, sour cream, ice cream, and cheese. Additionally, on the back of a milk carton, there should be a number 55, meaning it was bottled inside of Wisconsin. Now that we've explored the dairy farmer, the milk hauler, and what it takes from a broader perspective, one creamery and dairy farm in western Wisconsin involves the whole process. Crystal Ball Farms in Osceola, Wisconsin is controlling all aspects of their milk. The feed dairy animals consume is grown by crops like alfalfa, corn, and soybeans. Then they manage their own herd and have on-site creamery where they bottle milk, create cheese, and many other dairy-related products. Their reasoning why is what owner of Crystal Ball Farms, Troy DeRoser, says was a family decision that's paid off.
20 years ago, our oldest son was severely disabled. He's deaf and blind, and he's in a wheelchair. He's can't communicate. We need something that was more solid than not knowing what we were going to get for our milk. We needed to control our income, and that was our best revenue we felt at that time, about 22 years ago, I guess, when we were looking at it, to control it. And it's helped that way because as our costs go up, we control the price of our milk. So if we need to add more to the price of the milk, we can do it. And thankfully, our market has been really good. It's not a price-driven market. It's a quality-driven market. So if we need to raise our price, it's so far it has never affected our sales. So it's worked the way it's supposed to. Unfortunately, it creates a lot of extra work.
There's a lot of work day-to-day keeping track of the crops, the dairy animals, and the creamery. But with his experience, one of the biggest challenges the creamery faces is regulations and frequent inspections.
We have the same regulations as anyone else, and actually we're a little bit more stringent than most places because we are a federally approved grade A processing facility. We're fluid milk. Most plants are not fluid. And we have to be federal because we're right here on the border with Minnesota. In order to market out of state, we have to be federal. So it's all the regulations are just astronomical. But at the same time, it's necessary because they're here to protect the safety of our food. But it's something on the farm side, you never really realize all the extensive regulations that are involved. The processing is very heavily regulated, a lot more than on farm.
DeRoser also offers farm tours, allowing anyone to see the behind-the-scenes work of an operating dairy farm. On the farm side, he often hears misconception. When a dairy farm has hundreds of cattle and barns from the side of the road, it's a factory farm. Although, with as much hands-on dairy farming needs, he says there aren't any in his area in Osceola in western Wisconsin he would consider factory farming.
Dairy is really tough to be considered factory because it takes hands-on. You can't automate everything. Dairy is the only thing that I know of where you actually have a machine in direct contact with the animal all the time. And you have to have somebody there that's monitoring that. You have to have good people in different areas to really keep an eye on things because you can lose control really fast and be out of business. This factory farming thing, I don't see it in the dairy around here. Now, I know there are some where you get to like 30,000 cows. Now, in my mind, that could be more looking that way. But still, you still have a lot of people there. You may not have as much family, obviously, because they can't all be there to watch that. But in these 300 to 500 cow dairies around here, they've actually done really well because the families, there may be 4, 5, 6 kids in the family, and they all have a key part, a key role in that farm. And they're in charge of certain, they have other people helping, but they have key roles, and they've done very well.
Dairy farming is a family business. 95% of Wisconsin dairy farms are family-owned, and many farms have been passed down generation to generation. For dairy farmers like Colbinson, He enjoys seeing generation to generation get involved ever since a young age.
We don't get rich at what we're doing by any means monetarily, but we get rich in other ways. And I alluded to the family and how special it is to be able to spend time with them every day on the farm. As that comes full circle with grandkids now, it's even much more enjoyable. So yeah, to give the generation two and hopefully generation three the opportunity to grow up on a farm. I hear that from generation two or my kids, how special it was to grow up on a farm and that they want that same thing to give to their kids. So define pleasure or define a monetarily benefit from that. I mean, you can't put dollar figures on something like that.
For Mel Collar Donnelly, it's a family business for him as well. He gets to know the dairy farmers and their families and says it's truly a family business all around, from dairy farm to hauling milk to the processing sides of the industry. While the amount of dairy farms has shrunk, mentioned earlier in the documentary, the average herd size has increased to approximately 200 cows. It's important dairy farmers to expand so their income can support their families and for the upcoming generation to be involved.
There is consolidation, but I want to really caveat that because, you know, a lot of these farms, they want to bring the next generation along. And to do so, they need to expand their income base. So, you know, you may see a farm that you think is abnormally large, maybe in this area, 300, 400, 500, 600 cows, but that's still supporting one family that may have two or three of the children in that operation. So they very much do the hands-on work on those farms, and they're very much involved in them. So, I mean, anyone that wants to bring the next generation in has to look at what is it going to take? Is it going to take, you know, to expand that income base? And what kind of capital are you going to have to invest in that operation? You know, do you move from the traditional stanchion barn into a freestall barn and a parlor? Do you put robotics in? You know, those are types of things that decisions that need to be made as you try to expand that income base, because nothing is more gratifying than bringing your family into that operation. And these dairy farmers, they take pride in what they do, and they take pride in their families.
Every dairy farm is different, whether it's size or the practices they implement on the farm. They may be a conventional dairy farm or an organic dairy farm. To become USDA certified, organic dairy farms must allow cows access to grazing, cows must be grown on land free of prohibited pesticides and fertilizers, and are not allowed to use the antibiotics or hormones. Although, according to a study by the Oregon State University, organic and conventional dairies show few differences in cow health and milk. No matter upon the size and type, dairy farmers still care for the animal, says Brand.
I think one of the most beautiful things about dairy and the agriculture industry is that it can be done so many different ways, and it can work so many different ways. You know, you may have five dairy farms on this 50-mile stretch of road, and all five of them will do things a little differently based on what their desire is, based on what works with their family. So I think it's wrong, and it's sad to me that, you know, large gets pitted against small, your organic gets pitted against conventional, all those kinds of things. There just is no place for that because, you know, there is benefit, and obviously each family determines or decides what's going to work for them. So I just think farmers and everybody just need to recognize and understand, you know, it can be done a lot of different ways, and a lot of different ways can work, and it doesn't mean that one is better than the other or that there's any right or wrong with this.
Another challenge for the dairy industry is drastic price increases for all products. While the consumer may see increased prices for gas, food, and other products, dairy farmers and processors are seeing their input prices rise. Dee Roser says the price increase in all aspects of his business.
Our costs are going through the roof, and it doesn't matter what aspect of dairy it is, it's hitting everybody. That's a huge challenge right now. My fuel costs have doubled, my chemical costs have doubled, the little bit that we do use, it's terrible. We're going to raise our price again now. For almost 15 years, we never raised our price. Now in the last 3 months, we'll have raised it three times, and we just covering our costs. Our labor has gone up $5 to $6 an hour over 2 years ago. It's just the costs are just skyrocketing, and I don't know where it's going to stop. The thing is, if the market ever stabilizes, the economy stabilizes, I should say, labor will never go down. Nobody's going to take less money. So now what used to be a $10 minimum to get somebody is now 15 or 18, and that has a big impact.
Ultimately, for the farmer, it's about caring for their animals, and Donnelly sees that firsthand.
These producers care about their animals. These animals are making their profit. So they take the utmost of care. They make sure they're fed. They make sure that if they're showing signs of sickness, that they're taken care of immediately. So I think that's probably the message that I want. Milk is still a very high quality product, highly nutritious. And I want people to know that these farmers take a lot of pride in what they do.
For many farmers, inviting them to the farm for events like June Dairy Month breakfasts and other events is fun. It's a way to bring the community together. For the Pierce County Dairy Promotion Board, they offer many events throughout the year, and for dairy farmer Colmanson, he's had many of the events on his farm and says more of what he most enjoys about these events.
In December, of course, we would open up the farm to anybody that wanted to come and enjoy some dairy products and get a picture with Santa Claus and just the ability to get feet on the ground on a dairy farm and to be able to see us do what we do. And there is so much misinformation out there. We really entertain the thought of opening up the farm to educate and inform people. And that's where it's so important is, again, so much misinformation. And it's so frustrating for us as dairy producers to know this kind of information is out there circulating amongst people. And anywhere from the Santa Claus on the farm to the dairy breakfast, anytime that we can get people that are so far removed from the farm or from agriculture on a farm and to see the excitement of not only little kids being on the farm, but it's mom and dad too that are just totally amazed. It was mom and dad that, you know, wow, there's a cow, you know, we're on a farm. And it's just an eye-opening experience for us to witness the need of getting people on the farm and to share our story, our side of the story, and not what they see and hear of how we take care of cattle, how we abuse cattle and the environment. It's so far removed from the truth that we are just tickled to be able to share our story.
The events on the farm are not only to see what all goes into the operation, it's also a chance to ask questions. With an industry that has evolved and changed, it's okay to reach out to a local dairy farmer or processor. Brand says it's important to keep that connection with the community so they see the viewpoint from a dairy farmer.
Would really encourage consumers and everybody to just realize that farmers are doing the best job that they can. It's not an easy way to make a living, you know, but we love it and it's important to us and to our families, and that's why we do it. And just dig a little deeper, I guess, in getting an answer to a question you may have. And like I said, rely on science and common sense and practicality kind of to guide you to what the answer to your question would be.
Overall, farmers are working day in and day out to produce quality products like milk, cheese, and other dairy products. It's a team effort at any level with many people involved at a given time in how the dairy industry has moved forward. Brand says it takes many people with different expertise for a dairy farm to be successful.
It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of dedication to what we do on a daily basis. It really takes a team effort on the part of every person on that dairy farm, as well as the veterinarian, the nutritionist, all those people who come together to, you know, work with that farmer to produce, you know, a healthy, nutritious dairy product in a profitable, sustainable way for that dairy farm. So basically a lot of hard work, a lot of intelligence, a lot of being abreast and taking part in employing, you know, new technologies as they become available and working well with your people on your farm and, you know, the cooperative people that work with you to help with nutrition or whatever it is.
It takes many people in the dairy community to produce a safe and quality product to celebrate what's on the Wisconsin license plate, America's Dairyland. Donley is one person in the industry that's important to create nutritious dairy products.
Hopefully that next time you grab a gallon of milk or grab a pound of cheese, you think, take another look and think there's been a lot of interaction, a lot of effort to go into that product. And I hope you enjoy the quality that we strive to make sure you get.
The dairy industry takes a community to make cheese on your sandwich, milk for your cookies, and many other dairy-related products. This documentary has reported on the many steps it takes from the dairy farmer, the milk hauler, a more in-depth look on the processing side, as well as cheese, and from a farm with an on-farm creamery and store. This has been a production of the Department of Communication and Media Studies at the University of Wisconsin-River Falls. Reporting has been supported by the Donovan E. Rasmussen Broadcast Journalism Fellowship. I'm Michelle Stengler. Thank you for listening.